Our featured reader tonight is Carrie Ryan. Carrie Ryan's most recent collection of poetry, Diagnosing Minor Illness in Children, was released by Frontenac House in April 2023. She is also the author of The Sleeping Life with the Muses Company in 2008 and Verses with Anvil in 2010, a finalist for the Acorn Planthos Award for People's Poetry. In 2022, she was shortlisted for the CBC Poetry Prize. Her poems and essays have appeared in journals across Canada. She lives and writes in Winnipeg. Welcome, Carrie Ryan.
Thank you so much, Angeline. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much to Speaking Crow for having me tonight and to all of you for being here. I'm really looking forward to the open mic session following this. This is my new book. It was just released a couple of weeks ago from Frontenac House. I'm so grateful to them for publishing it. As Angeline said, it's primarily about motherhood, but I'm going to enter the reading from a different place. Since this is Speaking Crow and we just heard a crow poem, I thought I would start by reading, I don't have a crow poem, but I have a lot of bird poems. So I thought I would start there. With some of the bird poems and then kind of launch into some other themes from there. The first poem I'm going to read is called Search Results for What Do You Call a Group of Robins? I have this kind of fascination with, and I can't remember the word for it, but like the names of groups of birds, like a parliament of owls or a murder of crows. Maybe you've got your own favorites. You can put them in the chat. But it occurred to me last year when there was a huge group of robins in the tree that's just outside my window that I had no idea what a group of robins was called, even though we see robins like all the time. So I did a search, a Google search, and I found there's like quite a few different names for a group of robins. So that's what I centered this poem on. Search results for what do you call a group of robins? A red. 46 years, I've hardly considered the robin. A breast. Only the first matters. Call it spring. Call my mother. Write off the species as common. A reliant. Robin optimism is what I need. Cheer up, cheerily. A worm. Digging us out from under 3 feet of snow, more forecast. A round. Puffed in rusty parkas. Beaks set, warning call on repeat, yeep. A riot. I've never seen such a shitload of robins. A rabble. Marauding last year's ornamental crab, shoving aside graceful wax wings to strip every wizened fruit. A squabble. Neighbor's cat perches on fence, flicking tail. A rash. Diseased season when birds eat such a bitter crop. A bobbin, duty bound to wind earth toward thaw. The next poem I'm going to read is dedicated to the Steller sea eagle, which you might have heard about this in the news. There's this huge eagle from Russia or Asia that has somehow been blown off course and is going up and down the east coast of North America, I guess, looking for other stellar sea eagles, and there aren't any because it's in the wrong spot. But I kind of identify with this bird, just kind of wandering around, making the best of things. So I wrote this poem. To the stellar sea eagle, so very, very lost. 7,500 kilometers from your flyway, shouldered off course by an errant gust, hormonal glitch. A blip that doesn't rattle you. You're not some flimsy songbird. You're brute, used to pushing the sky back into place. You turn, turn again, overcorrecting the span of an ocean, length of a continent, and then the stars are not where they should be. Your conservation status, vulnerable, a word that doesn't suit such massive wingspan, glowering eye. Lost. Says Audubon, like you're a candidate for self-improvement. Backyard birders follow your hashtag, chase a glimpse of your staggering miscalculation as you pace brine trail of bald eagles, grab salmon, moving and moving and moving on. The next poem I'm going to read is for my husband, who's been a lifelong birder, and I like to say I'm a birder by marriage because now I'm always paying attention to what's up in the trees. Birding by proxy. You, night-eyed, stoic, have always found kin in the highest branches. Rumors of owls abound, shadowy sightings, but you are unrequited, following raptor tips on Twitter, slumping home without photo. You need an owl the way I need sun. Spring evening, I sprint home, giddy with the gift smuggled in my throat. Regurgitate the hoot I picked up along riverbank. I hear how goofy it sounds, bad accent, clumsy fake. But you make the ID and kiss me. I'm gonna enter into some of the motherhood content a little bit now. Nature to me now. Pea gravel, carefully asymmetric styrofoam boulder, rubber hand grips shaped like fossils. Wet wood chips give off deep forest cedar. Instead of weekend hikes, I push tracked in grit one room to another, pick sticky leaf mulch from little mittens. Wildlife sightings, next door cats prowling my thawing garden, greyhound in lumberjack plaid. I'm squared by city, routine, gaps between nap time, bath time. Wilderness in weeds, cracked sidewalk, tree out of step with boulevard chorus. Dark square of sky over the alley when I bustle the garbage out. Not shooting star, slow jet, cruising. Wildfire season. For days, the sun a radiant plum, neon dollop of crabapple jelly, hot lit fruit I look right at. Brittle air swept by jet stream, forest fires a 10-hour drive away. Forecast calls smoke a kind of weather. Everyone jokes, eerie sky, end of days, gagging as they step outside. I've always loved wood smoke in folds of clothes. Headlines, hectares lost, evacuees, July fires burn until snowfall. At the park, my daughter radiates exquisite strawberry. Pimlico. The neighbor's cat, a Russian blue, juggles a half-dead mouse from the compost pile. Languid flourish of tail, old-timey villain twirling his mustache. Mouse flips, furry baton, but at the chance to escape, ambles brokenly back to those claws. Bastard cat isn't even hungry. We shoo songbirds, shovel cat shit out of our vegetable beds. Thing is, he's gorgeous. A dove's iridescence, eyes lit jade. Here's another bird poem. On the way to Birds Hill Park. A sedge of sandhill cranes swirls in time to a concerto on CBC. We switch stations top of the hour to avoid news, and the birds file into Chevron, dart north. The wind, wrong, gusty like us these days. But my daughter wants to fly, so she launches her kite while I run, chasing heartlift, but tangling in my own string. Amid picnic litter, deer turd, We gather kindling for a fire slow to take. Warm hands over blackened deadfall, flashing to ash, murmuration lost to cloud. Mother-daughter camping trip. A season's worth of pent-up rain trashes the flimsy tent I bought decades ago as a romantic gesture. Water collects in loose nylon swag, spills over with vicious rip I mistake for bear claw seeking toothpaste. Midnight, 2 a.m., 3. Lightning jolts the tent like CPR compressions. Thunder shatters the lake, echo whiptails off water. My daughter's small voice in the dark. Is that your hand? Identification. 1. Glittery winter river. Night. We saw a lost dog turn into a fox. Its wild disinterest silhouetted in our headlamp beams, disappearing into riparian brush. 2. Pale pelt flared along a hiking trail where we'd stopped to read Harry Potter. It rounded back and I cried wolf into air left behind. She said coyote. Reader, I recognize those hackles from the back of my own neck. 3. We drove past a roadkill doe reclined across sidewalk where urban creek meets restaurant parking lot. Creamy undercoat, graceful splay, blood at its mouth. Dead, I breathed. 9 and newly tuned to pain, she insisted it isn't. Okay, I gave in for both of us, lifted hands from the wheel. Okay. It's not. This book is organized into sections that kind of expand outward to capture some other family relationships as well. So that's where I'm going next. Life lessons, Sunday morning parking lot. Signal your intention. Match your speed to traffic. Choose your lane wisely. The only advice my dad ever gave. He never questioned destination nor advised course correction. I learned things about him I'd never seen from the back seat. He was skittish behind the wheel, rode the brake. Devotee to maintenance schedule. Diligent cartographer allowed an extra half hour for snags that rarely came. To the end, arrived at his destination early. He must have hated those lessons as much as we did. His entire body wincing, clawing for door handle, ceding control to a souring teenage girl in the driver's seat. So different from how he taught us to ride bikes on wide, quiet streets. His distant shape waving, even as we could feel his big, square hand steadying the seat. I wouldn't drive my father again for 25 years when head-on a pickup bore down and we skidded into gravel shoulder. I was shredded with adrenaline. In the passenger seat, he was too weak to flinch. The time in hospital, he half woke, asked, "Who's driving?" Already in motion. This next poem is called Momentum of Change. When I asked the musician to play for my dad, I didn't say deathbed. I hadn't heard of momentum of change, the notion that if deterioration is year to year, get your house in order. If day to day, say your goodbyes. He arrived at my hushed childhood living room with a Boron and acoustic guitar, played standards, the Black Velvet Band. my dad tapping fingers, moving his lips instead of singing. When I asked the musician, who'd never met my dad, he must have sensed the momentum in my question. A long weekend, Saturday night, his own family to sing to sleep. He answered instantly, "I'll be there." I used to flail, sweat-soaked to his Celtic punk in subterranean clubs. Now I danced with my daughter, dustless antiques quivering around us. The room shadowed by a medical chair we'd later return. It was so lightly used. I'm going to read a few poems from a section here where I'm kind of dealing with my constant search for a cure to my middle age. I haven't found it yet. On wellness. The disembodied voice of a Buddhist monk tells me how to breathe. My instinctual intake of air not good enough. An app judges the quality of my shit on a Likert scale. My phone can't settle on diagnosis, sends ads for yoga pants and mushroom dust coffee. Gurus say I'll have to meet this thing blood to blood. Pulp my brain, press it through a sieve. Take this thin jam, make myself someone who believes in bliss and headstands. Nobody I recognize. Massage. Heated table, face down, I howl without sound. Skeleton key fingers tunnel into my hoard of grief, packed into pelvis, spackled between vertebrae. Calcified emotion, self-pity stronger than bone. On the anatomical chart, meaty crimson. In my veins, virus woken from melting pack ice. Osteopathy. She rearranges my framework with her body weight, misaligned intimacy. Smashes a pillow over my face, bundles me in vigorous embrace, arms crossed over my chest like I'm dead. Spine crackles like the rattling handful of vertebrae my daughter brought home after dissecting an owl pellet. But my skeleton admits light. I'm going to read one last poem here. Eclipse. I hereby give you possession of every childhood summer. Late night ear infections, calamine, sand in sheets, comforting scents of raid, oiled gravel, squirrel paw, thunderstorm, uninsulated shingle. We leave softened board game boxes and lobster-shaped salt and pepper shakers for your yard sale. We've laid to rest communal jackets and old shoes used for quick trips to the biffy that hasn't been out back for decades. I padlock my regrets and wish you bountiful Saskatoons, library books on long-term loan, and the silhouette spread of the Peterson Field Guide. One night, I hope you'll be woken by your mother to walk dazedly down to the lake in your pajamas, lie in a sleeping bag on the wave-jangled pier, and watch the full moon regrow. Thank you so much, everyone.